You ready?
This is the Mike Salk Show
on Seattle Sports Station.
Are you ready?
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Are you ready for a good day?
This hour of the Mike Salk Show is driven by Waystar Ford. I am Michael Bumpus with Robert Turbin filling in for Mike Salk as he gets healthy. If you're listening to Salk, man, I hope you're feeling better, my man. And I hope you're back on the air soon on that golf course soon. We need to get out. I played golf with Mike one time, and I don't think we played our best. We both shot like 90 or something like that.
Where'd you guys play?
We played at Willows.
Ooh, good course.
Yeah, nice course. They take care of their greens there, man. They tarp their greens. You know, I'm getting bougie when it comes to golf, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you ever a golfer before?
I wasn't until maybe like 10 years ago.
Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah, so I got into the game late.
What about you, Turbo? You ripping any drives?
The drive is probably the worst part of my game right now. So, you know, I'm still, you know, in the beginning stages.
Well, that's the best part about golf is that it's a constant work in progress.
Always. Never. And that's probably why I like it, because it's the one sport where I didn't just sit back and be like, got it. Nah.
Right. And imagine, like, I'm literally speaking to two professional athletes. I'm assuming at both of your lives, most of the time, you were, if not the best, one of the top two or three best players on any field you ever stepped on.
Facts.
Precisely.
Yeah, and then you get to a golf course and quickly humbled.
I get beat by a small lady hitting it 150 just straight every time, just laughing at me. I'm spraying it left and right. But
for real.
Yeah, man. But, Turbo, we got to get on the golf course one time before the season
we
starts.
We do got to get on the golf course, man, because you could probably teach me a thing or two. You know what I mean?
Hey, you know what?
I got to get my drive.
Yeah, I can show you some things because I've been a leader back in my day. We're going to talk about some leadership, all right? The M's need it. Right? They got a roster full of young guys, Turbo. And there's nothing wrong with young guys, right? They bring youth. They make the game fun. When we're talking about football, they can move in ways that us older guys can't move. But you need that veteran leadership. And Bob Nightingale had a couple things to say about the M's leadership.
Well, I think they're really missing the veteran leadership in that clubhouse. You know, there's not that veteran there that guys lean on. And I think when guys struggle, it's like, okay, let me get some advice or, you know, consolation from guys who have been there and done that. You know, Seager was one of those guys for sure in that clubhouse. I just think they miss that leadership. You know, they don't have it. There's so many young players in that team. And I think we're going through the way free fall like they are now. It just gets worse. It's just sometimes I think they wonder where to turn.
Now, Turbo, I might be able to do some things on a golf course that you can't do, but you've done something that I didn't do, and that's win a Super Bowl. And you have to have had some great leadership on that football team, man. Talk about the leadership on that squad.
Yeah, Red Bryant, man, was you know, one of our huge leaders of that team. He was always the guy that galvanized the guys together. Man, especially when we were tripping, you know, when we weren't playing right or we had a bad first half, we had that one guy we could lean on, and that was Red Bryant. And you know, quite frankly, there were multiple guys, you know, in that locker room that you could lean on for leadership purposes, man. But it is important to have somebody like that in the locker room that's going to tell you what's real, you know, not always going to tell you what you want to hear. He's going to tell you what you need to know. And it's always out of a kind heart, and it's always for your best interest. You know what I mean? And so having a young team is great, but somebody kind of has to, you know, go against the grain, per se, to be that leader, man. Because leaders aren't like everybody else.
Yeah.
They're different. You know, they're different, not from a standout standpoint, but just about how they go about their business. And it sounds like that's what the M's are searching for. And hopefully, you know, a guy like Upton can bring that.
Yeah, man, there's different ways to lead, right? I feel like Red is a nice dude, man. One of the nicest dudes I know, but he can get intense. You know what I'm saying? And he's a big boy. So you feel his presence, and when he speaks, you feel it. I look at your Warriors team, their leadership is different. It's more about having fun and patting each other on the back. You know what I'm saying? So it's important to know that there's different ways to be successful. There's different ways to lead. And I look at Red. I look at these Warriors. I look at the M's. They're searching for their leadership. And I start to realize just how important it is. You know what I'm saying? When I was coming up, when I was with the Hawks, our leader in our receiving room was Bobby Engram. Now, Bobby Engram was a guy who was just going to work his tail off. He wasn't going to say much. He was just going to be like tapping on the shoulder, hey, youngster, look at this. You know what I mean? This is how I run my option route. this is how I run my seam route. And he was more an example guy. Then he'll, I remember Bobby hit me up one day. He goes, hey, man, come outside. I'm like, one, how do you know where I live, Bobby? Like, what's going on here? Right? And he picks me up. He picks Courtney Taylor up. Nate Burleson was there, Dion Branch. And he takes us out to Daniels. And this is my first year in Seattle. I didn't realize how expensive Daniels was, right? So the bill comes around, and I look at the bill, and this is no joke, Turbo, like $1,500, man. And I'm not making that money. And what does Bobby do? The leader he is, he picks up the tab for us. So there's different ways to lead there, Turbo.
Oh, my gosh. But
he didn't make a rookie do it? I expect that would be like one of those rite of passage things.
Shoot, I was undrafted. He knew I wasn't making no money.
It's fair. It's fair.
Turbo might have to pick that bill up, though.
I had to pick it up, man. But I was drafted in the fourth round. But I still had to pick it up. Mike Robb, man, he was going to other people's tables and asking them if they paid their bill yet, because we had a guy at our table who was taking care of the room, you know. So I ended up having to pay for like four different families' meals.
Man, that one hurt.
But we talk about a rookie dinner, man. Yeah. Mine was my bill was a little bit higher than 15.
How much does the veteran leadership really take place off the field too? I mean, it's not just something you're learning in the locker room or on the field.
It's big time.
Go ahead, Turbo.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's big time, because especially as a young player, there's a lot to learn, right? Like, I remember my first offseason, I didn't know what to do. I'm like, guys are going on vacation. I'm like, okay, well, I'll go on vacation. I took a cruise to the Bahamas, you know, not because for any other reason except for the fact that I just thought that's what you were supposed to do. Like, I didn't even really know how to organize, when to start training, and all that kind of stuff. Like, when do you start lifting heavy, and when do you start doing, you know, more lateral movements and things like that on the field? Like, managing those type of things in your preparation, veterans can certainly be really helpful from that aspect. And then, you know, as you become a veteran, you still have those leaders that are there to guide you in your transition, you know, as it pertains to, you know, what do you want to do when your career is over, and some of the things you want to get into like that. And so off the field, foundations and things like that you want to do, giving back to your community, like, all of those aspects are where leadership comes into play and can be very helpful for a young player.
I had a veteran when I was a rookie, Brian Wilson. He was a safety for the Seahawks. It was him and Dion in the backfield. And I told him, he goes, what you going to do with your first check? And I go, I don't know, man. I want to buy a watch. You know, watches were hitting. They still hit now. And he goes, well, youngster, you know, you realize you only get paid 16 weeks. You know what he told me? He goes, man, go buy a fake one. Nobody's ever going to know.
True.
Bought a fake one. Nobody ever knew it was yeah. fake. Great leadership from Brian, man. I appreciate you. Saved me maybe $1,000 or whatnot. But let's get back to the M's. The M's need that leadership. They are young. Haniger's not there. Maybe if Haniger's there, he's a leader. Robbie Way is a leader, but he's on the mound. Like, it's different with pitchers. They're in their own little zone. Yeah. Brady can probably speak to that, but they're in their own zone. So leadership is huge with this team. They need to find it. They need to find the bats, and hopefully it starts tonight. The Mariners kick off a big three-game series at home, and a big award for one Seahawk. And the NBA Finals are nearly set. We'll tell you everything else you need to know next. It's the Mike Salk Show. You're listening to Seattle Sports Nation Station in 710 Seattle Sports App.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Mike Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
This hour is driven by Wayscarf Ford. Sorry for butchering your name like that. But here's what you need to know. I got to find him. I'm struggling right now. All right, here's what you need to know. Mariners sent struggling reliever Drew Steckenrider, who was a key part of a bullpen that helped the 2021 Mariners win 90 games down to AAA in Tacoma. No corresponding move was made. Thus, Seattle has one open spot on his 26-man MLB roster. And Jerry DePoto told us yesterday not to expect any help coming by the way of trade this point in the season.
It's hard to make trades early in the season. You usually don't see trades until June, July. But I don't think that we're going to be able to address any of those needs via trade anytime soon.
Sounds like they got to sit tight and try to make things happen. And Mariners open up the first of three games against Houston at home tonight. Chris Flexen starting for the Mariners against Justin Verlander on the hill for the Astros. First pitch is at 6:40 p.m., which you can hear on Seattle Sports with Wyman and Bob leading you up to the pregame show.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Bay Area. Golden State Warriors advanced to their sixth NBA Finals in the past 8 years as they beat the Dallas Mavericks 120 to 110.
Golden State is going to the Finals for the sixth time in the last 8 years. Big night for Klay Thompson with 32. A double-double for Looney. This crowd is back. They're on their feet, and their Warriors are going to the NBA Finals again.
Turbo, when I think of the Bay Area, I think of E40 Mac Dre and Golden State Warriors. You got to be proud right now.
We feeling excited, but don't forget about Too Short, man. Come on now.
My bad.
Hey, listen, San Francisco, Bay Area, we are hyped right now. Great to see the Warriors get back to the finals, particularly, though, Klay Thompson after those two major injuries. Man, it's inspiring to see him come back the way that he has.
Klay Thompson battled back. He understands the situation, and because of that, he was emotional after the series win.
It's just hard to put into words, man. Like, I dreamt of this day during some dog days, and to be here, I'm so thankful for our squad, man. They started the season so incredibly well, allowed us to finish out strong, and we are 4 wins away from a championship.
Got to give it a go, Cougs. Every time I talk or hear Klay, go Cougs. Klay, appreciate you, man. Boston takes on the Heat tonight at 5:30. The Celtics lead the series 3-2. It's a wrap, Turbo. Boston is going to get it done. Jason Tatum is hot. Jaylen Brown is hot. Marcus Smart is going. That team defense is ridiculous. And Miami's hurt. Tyler Hero ain't been playing. Jimmy Butler's on a bum knee. It ain't looking good for the Heat right now.
It ain't looking good, and it is Rap City. Boston Celtics are going to close it out tonight, and we will see them going up against the Warriors in the finals.
Man, those going to be some long flights in between series, man. Goodness gracious. Cali to Boston. They'll make it work, though. NHL playoffs update. Carolina Hurricanes dropped the New York Rangers by a score of 3-1. They now lead the series 3-2. Edmonton Oilers dropped the Calgary Flames in overtime to win the series 4-1. Here's the game winner.
Draisaitl to McDavid. McDavid shoots. Score! It's over! The Oilers move on!
Connor McDavid, someone texted in. He's Connor McJesus.
McJesus.
That's what they're calling him?
Wow.
Ooh, that's big. There was a shortstop that used to play for Oregon State that they called Jesus, and I was like, you better be able to play if you're gonna be. That's your nickname.
Yeah, that's tough. Game 6 between Colorado and the St. Louis Blues. That's tonight, 5 p.m. The Avalanche lead that series 3-2.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Tyler Lockett joins a long list of Seahawks greats as he receives the Seattle Sports Star of the Year award last night after his third time being nominated. Lockett was also the winner of the 2021 Steve Largent Award and has been a nominee for the NFL's Walter Payton Man of the Year Award in the past. All he does is to show young people how to be successful, how to play ball, and how to help the community off the field, and just be an overall good person. He is one of the best people I've ever met in my life, Turbo.
Yeah, man, listen, he's consistent. You know, he's a consummate pro. You know, he's a guy, when you step into the locker room as a young player, as a young wide receiver, you say, man, I want to be like Tyler. On and off the field, he's showing the example, deserving of this award.
Deserving of it? I wore number 16. I ain't wear it the way Tyler Lockett wears that thing, though. Tyler Lockett, as he's made a way for the smaller receiver, too, to play outside, because as a smaller receiver, you were stuck in the slot. Put him in the slot. Now, Lockett does his thing from the slot, but he also works from the outside. This guy's a poet. He's not afraid to be vulnerable. He won an Emmy. I mean, now he's the Sports Man of the Year in Seattle. All he needs now is a Super Bowl, man. We got to get him a Super Bowl, Turbo.
Got to give him that ring, man. That's the only thing he's missing on that resume. Other than that, shoot, man, he's one of the greatest Seahawks of all time.
Yeah, one of the greats of all time. And there's some guys on that list for Sportsman of the Year. There's Kurt Warner, Steve Largent, Matt Hasselbeck, Russell Wilson, Bobby Wagner, K.J. Wright. I mean, he's in some good company right there on that list.
Yeah, absolutely. And deservedly so, right? I mean, he's proved it on the field, not only from a leadership standpoint, but from a performance standpoint, obviously, right? He's been the go-to target for Russell Wilson for a number of years. Now he's got a couple other quarterbacks that he's going to be working with. But, I mean, think about it. New quarterback, coming into a new system. Geno kind of trying to not necessarily resurrect his career, but perhaps find himself into a starting role again. And you got a guy like Tyler Lockett to throw yourself to that's not going to do anything but give you confidence.
Now, I started off the Warriors little portion of this, giving love to some Bay Area rappers. Justin, give me somebody from Montana.
Ooh, a rapper?
No, just musically. Give me something from Montana. There's got to be somebody.
Don't put the pressure on them with rap, man.
Yeah, there's not a lot of rappers.
But you know what? You have does Kanye have a ranch in Montana?
He does. I think it's actually near Bozeman. I think he has one in Wyoming, too. But there was this band that used to play in my hometown. It's called Libby. And we had a concert on our baseball field. Turbo, by the way. My hometown's about 2,000 people, maybe a few shy. They're called the Mission Mountain Wood Band. That is like the most Montana-sounding band that you can come up with.
I love it, man. I've only driven through Montana. I've never stayed in. So you guys know, Justin is speaking at his high school's graduation this weekend. Man, what a huge honor. How'd that call go?
I got asked last September. I thought it was actually, at first I was like, somebody cancel, and like, that's why you're calling me? Like, I'm very honored. I spent a lot of time writing my speech, and yeah, it's something I didn't expect to happen, but I get to speak at graduation. It's on Sunday, too, so I'm going to be gone Monday for that.
Sunday, gone Monday. Turbo, you ever had an honor like that?
Well, I was inducted to the Hall of Fame.
Hey.
Utah State.
You get that.
I had to go up and had to meet Bobby, me and Bobby, same class. This was just about a month ago. We were at Utah State, our alma mater. We had to go out and we watched the spring game, the blue and white game, and, you know, we had the big ceremony that night. You know, your boy was fresh in his blue suit with his Utah State tie and Utah State cufflinks and everything, man. And, you know, went up and gave a speech, and it was awesome.
By the way, what was your high school mascot, really quick?
Vikings.
Vikings. What was yours, Bob?
You're going to laugh.
Really?
Centaur.
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 Dang.
And my school was built in the 50s. Matt, what were they thinking in the 50s?
That is pretty cool, actually.
It is a centaur.
It's what half man, half horse.
Ah, that's right.
Well, just to put a bow on the Montana, my high school mascot is a logger.
A logger.
Yeah, that's right. Libby loggers.
I can identify more with a logger than a centaur, that's for sure. But, hey, big ups Culver
like
City
centaur.
High School. All right, our guy G. Scott makes his Friday appearance, and he's ready to make a bold proclamation about the Seahawks QB situation. You'll hear that next. It's the Mike Salk Show. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app.
You're listening to the Mike Salk Show.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Let me tell ya.
Welcome back to the Mike Salk Show. I'm Michael Bumpus and Robert Turbin. We got G. Scott with me, and this is Jamiroquai, huh?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Does Salk know what's happening? You got Jamiroquai playing. You got three bruhs on the show. I was 710 ESPN. Turbo, what's good?
What's up with it, G? Hey, G, I don't even think we've been on the radio together before yet.
No, man, but you know what it's like? It's like Mo Kelly office right now. You feel me?
Yeah.
So we get to sit down like we in Mo Kelly's office inside of the Virginia Mason Athletic Center, and we just talk shop.
That's right. That's exactly what it is right now.
What are we talking about?
Big ups to Mo Kelly, by the way, man. One of the most solid dudes I know, man. Yeah. Mo Kelly. Mm-hmm. Well, first we're going to start with these Seahawks, man.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some sleepers. We talked about the sleeper list, right? You got your first three picks that everyone's going to give the shine to. And as they should, they'll probably get the first opportunity to play. But I look at this draft class, G, and I see some guys I think are going to contribute. My favorite, you know, I'm going receiver.
Mm-hmm.
What you think about Bo?
I like Bo. Bo is nice, definitely electric, and has some good hands. His catch radius is what I really like about him. But let me go ahead and since I got y'all on the show, let's talk about this. When it comes to the draft picks and who the Seattle Seahawks draft and who they bring in the building, I want to first talk about one important word that does not get said enough, Turbo: culture. Mm. It's the Seahawks culture. It's what happens inside of that building that doesn't happen in every other building around the NFL. Turbo, have you been to other buildings? Tell me about culture when it comes to inside of that building compared to others.
Culture is everything. Culture is everything. It like the way your leaders are, and I mean it just defines your entire team. We were talking about this with a little bit of the New York Jets earlier, right, about how Robert Saleh, you know, came from Seattle and went to some other places, right? But he's developing a culture there with the New York Jets, and you can see the turnaround. It's kind of cool to see. And so that's an important aspect, really, of any franchise. We were talking about the Golden State Warriors earlier today. Culture. A guy like Andrew Wiggins, who's been struggling throughout his basketball career, goes to the Warriors and is a part of a good culture. And guess what? He's had the best year of his career. And so when you go to a team like the Seahawks, who have had great culture over the course of many years, it only breeds success. Very important aspect to a franchise's future.
And so some might be listening, Bump, and they might be listening right now and saying, like, well, when you guys say culture, what does that mean? So, Bump, let's talk about even what more does that mean. What does a player need when they come into an NFL building? It's not just about how fast you are, how strong you are. It's about how you feel. It's about the little things. It's about EK in the equipment room taking care of you.
Well, I was going to ask you that, actually, but, you know, I'll go first, and then you can back
Come
me
on,
up.
Let's get to it.
Culture to me means when you walk through that player's door, greeting the security guard in that relationship. When you go up to get some food, the chef knowing exactly what you want already.
Shout out to Big Stu.
Big Stu.
Stu.
Knowing what you want already, having it set up for you, good to go. Culture is how the equipment, EK, your relationship there. Culture is when you're getting your ankles taped. You know what I'm saying? The conversations you have with the trainer. So people want to associate culture with just a style of football play, which is part of the culture, right? Mm-hmm. They want to run the football this year. They're going to get Drew Lock outside the pocket. But culture is just a whole feel when you walk into the building. So, Turbo, when you were with the Seahawks, you know, describe what the culture was like. And do you think that it's changed a bit, or do you think Pete Carroll's probably stayed pretty solid to his approach to that?
Yeah. See, culture to me is about the personality of your team. So you have a bunch of individual players, right? And we all come from different backgrounds and everything like that. But then you become a part of a culture where then you take those different personalities and different backgrounds and you kind of bring it all into one. And you become one. You become one unit and all that kind of stuff. And so and then there's the values that you have as a team. Like, what do you value as in, like, you're going to have your individual values, right? But when you become a part of a culture, then those values kind of intertwine together. Now, you've asked me if the culture has changed. The culture has not changed, in my opinion. But what it has done, it has evolved, because there's new players, there's new personalities, and there's new ways about going about things. But you keep the same values, and that allows you then to keep the same culture and the things that you value the most, like looking people in the eye and treating people with respect and developing relationships that are going to be long term, right? Those are the parts of the culture that breed not only a great team, but a great team that's able to sustain success for long periods of time, like the Seahawks have been able to do.
I love what you had to say there, Turbo, and Bump, love how you came in with that. And who's a better basketball player? I'm gonna go to basketball. I'm gonna come right back to football. Who's a better basketball player, Wiggins or Kevin Durant?
Durant
all day.
But Durant, the better player, goes to the Nets. Do the Nets have the culture of the Golden State Warriors?
Absolutely.
The answer is no. So now that's another example of, oh, okay, culture is important. But I do want to give one example. I got to give this one just so listeners can get an understanding of just one small example of culture. One of my favorite things that used to be when I used to be around the VMAC years ago, one of my favorite things is when someone would get traded in from another football team to come into the Seahawks, right? And so they'd be walking around, and they would be so excited to get some socks. Hear me out now.
Right, yeah.
Facts. This is real.
Turbo, am I lying?
Nah.
Look, wait. So they would be like, so, how much I owe you for the socks? And the equipment guys would be like, what do you mean? The socks? He said, they'd be like, wait, we can just get socks whenever you want? And EK and them be like, yes. Here's my point. So somebody might be listening right now and think that's not a big deal. I'm telling you, in the across the NFL. Turbo, am I lying?
Nope.
People will. Oh, is that a pair of socks? Okay, we're gonna rock Roscoe down for 2-3 pair of socks. No. Oh, wait a minute. I can get some socks. Wait, I can get my own gum. Oh, I can get this. I can get that. You get all of those things. That is what you get when you come to the Seahawks organization. So when I say culture, the organization being taken care of. Go back to your draft picks. When these draft picks come in, when players come into that building, they come into a place of like, wow. I never knew it was done like this. It's like the first time you stay at a real hotel as opposed to one of them roach motels. You feel me?
Yeah.
Now, Turbo, tell me what it was like when you first started staying at good hotels.
What? I slept good. I slept good,
the sheets feel different, huh?
What?
The comforter feels different.
Man, the comforter is heavy. I'm like, look at this. I feel like I'm sinking into this thing. I'm like, I want to sleep here instead of going home.
I feel it. You know, I've had teammates. My guy Brandon Lewis played in several teams. Jed Collins played for several teams. I used to hear horror stories, man. Like, man, the locker room is crazy. It's chaos going on. And, you know, my experience, and this was before Pete Carroll was there, so I can imagine how much better it was. I was like, I feel none of that. I remember you talk about asking for socks. Yeah. I remember I didn't have a sweatsuit. I didn't have one. So Bobby Ingram, I go, Bobby, man, if you can go up there and get me a top and a bottom, you go, Bob, if you don't go over there and just ask these dudes for a top and a bottom. But, yeah, man, all those little things, it makes sense, dude. So speaking of culture and basketball and whatnot,
yeah,
what the Golden State Warriors have been doing is something special, man. The way they bounce back from 2 years of not making the playoffs, Klay's getting banged up, Steph Curry, does he have it anymore? They bring help. They got Jordan Poole. They bring over Looney as well. Talk about culture, man. That culture, if I had to compare an NBA franchise to an NFL franchise as far as culture, I would assume that the Golden State Warriors and the Seahawks are a bit aligned.
Absolutely. And here's what I've learned from Turbo, you and your teammates, being around Super Bowl champions, being around you guys 4 or 5 days a week. Here's what you see with the Golden State Warriors, and here's what you saw with the Seattle Seahawks. When winning, hear me out, when winning is more important than anything else. Because if you win, the money comes. If you win, everything else that you want in life will come. Watching those dudes, I was there 4 or 5 days a week, seeing these dudes just talking about being the best, being bad, being do whatever they got to do on the field. So when you see the Golden State Warriors bump, you see, why is Jordan Poole all of a sudden so good? Because the unselfishness and nobody's tripping. They just like, look here, young butt. We just want you to be able to win. We want to win. So that way you're able to thrive. There's no selfishness. When you see the offensive continuity, when you see that offense, when you see that ball movement, you see the unselfishness. It's poetry. The Golden State Warriors offense is poetry, and it's something beautiful to watch. I was watching it yesterday. Man, whenever you sit around with your partners and you bring up the word poetry, you know the offense is good. You know what I mean? Yeah. You don't bring up poetry for nothing. You know, Turbo, that offense is phenomenal and is something of beauty to watch.
Yeah, you know what else is great? And we're talking about culture. This is a great conversation because similarly what both franchises have done, and obviously we're talking about different sports here, but look at how they build their teams, right? Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond, and we start there. Guess what? All drafted by the Warriors. Jordan Poole, drafted by the Warriors. You know, and so they build, you know, you got Kuminga and Moody and some of these other young players, right, all drafted by the Warriors. And so they have this, you know, they have this ability to, you know, not only scout great players, draft them, and develop them into becoming, you know, great players, players that contribute out there on the court, and the culture of that system is a big part of that. Now, have the Seahawks done the exact same thing? Absolutely, right? Now, they've gone out and got, you know, made some trades, you know, some splashes and things like that, traded for Marshawn, you know, traded for Quandre and Percy and some of these other players that they've been able to go out and get. But, I mean, we talk about this draft class this year, bright future, Jordan Brooks drafted, you know, some of these other players, you know, our draft class was and that was established within the franchise already as we were coming in. And so that's where really the similarity lies to me. Like, both franchises do a phenomenal job of going out, scouting players, drafting players, and then helping them develop into becoming great players.
Man, one thing about me when I get on the show, I've already had two cups of coffee, so I get random. But you was just talking, Turbo, and you was talking about being drafted. I just thought about something. I remember your first day sitting at the table outside of Mo Kelly's office. Do you remember the first time you and I met? And I can tell you what the conversation was about. Let me see if you remember.
I don't. You have to game me up.
Here we go. We were sitting there talking. We introduced each other. We were sitting out at the table. And then you was like, yeah, I'm trying to debate on where I'm going to live. I don't know, because Russ is living somewhere. I'm debating if I'm going to go live at the Braverin. And I said,
oh, that's right.
I said, nah. And he said, man, it's like $3,500 a month. Mm-mm. It was $3,500 a month back then to live at the Braverin. And I was like, nah, don't do that, Rook. That's not a good idea. That was you and I's first discussion that you and I ever had.
I remember that now, and I opted not to as well. You know what I'm saying? I went somewhere else to save a little bread. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, listen, save your money. Listen, he was giving me game already. He was like, hey, save your money, okay? The Braver, it'll look nice, Russell. Okay, he going over there. He the quarterback, though, a little different. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Watch your pockets.
You have to go down Lake Washington down to the Pinnacle over there. What's that, Coulon Park over there?
I told him to go to the Bristol. I don't know if you went to. Where'd you go? Anyways, the first time.
I went and got a townhouse in Renton somewhere. I went and made sure I was really saving.
Yeah, you.
My rent was like $2,100, something like that, my rookie year.
You were smart for sure.
Attaboy. Well, hey, G Scott, man, always appreciate you, man. I feel like I've known you for about 10 plus years now.
I know.
Watch you do your thing, man.
Bobby Ingram, I'm glad you brought a story. Bobby Ingram used to ride his bicycle to the facility.
Yep.
That's how long I've been in this game. See y'all.
It's like Juju. Remember when Juju was riding his bike?
Yeah.
And his bike got stolen.
It's like Juju. Yep. That's G Scott. You know him. You love him. The guy's been around the game for a while, man. He hit you with some pastime, huh? First conversation, he was dropping knowledge on you, huh, Turbo?
He was, man. He was. I didn't realize he had been around the facility that long. I mean, even before me.
Yeah, he was there when I was there, man. He was there when I was there.
That's beautiful stuff right there.
But that's culture too, right?
That's culture,
right?
Man.
You've been here for what?
That's culture.
15 years, man. Still here, still talking to you guys, having relationships with you guys. That's what the Seahawks do. And that's why they get a lot of guys who come back. You know, like they let guys go and then they come back. And you know what? A team that also does that are the Mariners. The Mariners got about 40 guys who have left and came back over the years. Now, they haven't had the success that the Seahawks have had, but that speaks to their culture, right?
Right, right. That's okay. It's, you know, sometimes that doesn't always amount to wins, you know, but you know that good things are coming. Good things on the horizon for the Mariners. I truly believe that. Now, they may be struggling this year, high expectations and everything like that, man, but I still believe the future is bright.
Yeah, you know what? I think Ken Walker's future is bright, and I know we spoke to you about him a couple days ago, but especially with the health of that backfield, with Chris Carson, we don't know what that situation is going to look like. You got Rashad Penny trying to see if he can make it through a full year. He got his hammy tweaked. Were you concerned when you heard that he tweaked his hammy, or are you thinking like, look, it's OTAs, no rush, just take your time?
I mean, of course I'm a concern when you hear that, man, because it's like, here we go again. You know, you don't want to hear anything associated with tweak or sprain or anything like that when it comes to Rashad Penny, you know, so you have to be concerned. But talking about Kenneth Walker III, the Seahawks have a very, very, very good insurance plan and a bright future at the running back position in that kid.
Oops, sorry, messed my buttons up. Yeah.
What happened?
No. Buttons, man. They got so many buttons over here. I slipped up and touched on the one supposed to touch.
That's like that awkward silence, you know, you having like, you know, with your girl or something. It's like,
where you think know, you said the right quiet, thing, but like, you didn't.
You really
right,
didn't.
Yeah, right.
And you got that 5 seconds, you're like, I've got a backpedal, but it's too late. Those words came out.
Right. But yeah, I think Kim Walker's going to be great, man. And I think that leaning on this culture conversation, I think the Hawks do a great job of drafting guys they think are going to fit into their culture, not just guys who are just the best available player. Now, at the number 9 spot, they better have picked the best available player, and I think they did that. But I think they also got a guy who can fit into this culture. And what I do, Turbo, is I love to listen to their post-OTAs press conference, right, and get to know these guys, because I know some of the reporters, as you do, the Jim Muellers, the Boyles, the guys who are going to ask questions to really get to know these young men. And their answers, I might not agree with everything they're saying, but just the way they go about answering these questions, how they look these reporters in the eye, it makes me confident that the Hawks are picking up the right guys for their culture.
Yeah, absolutely. That is always really, when it comes to drafting for the Seahawks, I mean, at least I believe that personality and fit, you know, from that standpoint is even more important, I would say, than what their skill set is. Because what the Seahawks have confidence in, and they always have had confidence in, is developing players.
Yeah.
So you might be a lower tier player. Some scouts might think you're not all that great or whatever, but they believe that their system and their culture can elevate a player to become even more than potentially they are. And so, you know, they're looking at personality very, very strongly.
Something I've always wondered about with you guys, too. You talk about the way they speak to the media and what you learn from them, and especially right after being drafted. After you join the team, do you go through some media training? Like, does somebody from the team sit you down and, like, tell you, here's kind of the bullet points of the way that you can tiptoe around answering something without getting yourself in trouble?
That's a good question. Yes and no. For some players, yes. I think at least when I was coming in, like, if you had to kind of go out and seek it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they have it readily available now.
I'm imagining, too, with the amount of social media, too, there's probably more than just, here's how you're going to handle interviews. Here's what we should not be doing digitally.
Right, right. It, you know, what it is, it's more the NFL PA, I would say, that they come in and they have meetings with the players, and it's really more so on them, at least from my experience, more so on them to kind of get players a better understanding, to give players a better understanding of how to talk to the media, what to say on social media, et cetera.
Yeah, back in my day, they would tell you what the resources are, but you had to go and use those resources. But I would assume now, with all the social media outlets and how easy you can get caught up and your words twisted, I would hope that they're making these rookies at least spend a day or two with the PR and be like, look, man, this is how you handle these situations. The thing is, you want to allow your players to be themselves, right? You want to allow them to market themselves and show their personalities, but you also want them to do it in a way that's safe. What does Pete Carroll always say, Turbo? Protect the team, right? That's the main thing. You must protect the team. So a kid coming out of college who's 21 years old, 20 years old, with a bunch of money, you don't know what his home life is like, they might need some guidance, you know what I mean? So I'm hoping that they have those resources available for them, and I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
I'm sure they do.
And that also, I mean, maybe even bump goes back to starting with you at the high school level. Like, I'm sure some of these things, being in the league and maybe seeing some guys make the wrong choices, this is a point where they can learn from you before they see it on their own side.
And they have to learn it now, because you're getting money fresh out of high school now. You're getting exposure. It's a different level right now of the things that these guys can get into and the avenues that they can go through. And, you know, I heard a story about a kid getting an agent at my 11th grade, 11th, 12th
really?
Grade to do his NIL deals. And, I shake my head at it like, man, what's going on? But when you're dealing with a bunch of money like that, you need that type of guidance. Is it going to be your mom, your dad? Is it going to be your agent? There has to be someone there to kind of buff you through this. Every now and then you get the Bobby Ingrams who do their own deals, you know what I'm saying, who have been in the game long enough to kind of understand how things are working. But this new generation, they are the pioneers of this getting paid out of high school.
Yeah, it's still the Wild West right now for that.
It is. So I'm hoping they're getting some guidance, Turbo.
Yeah, they're going to definitely need it. You know, I was just thinking, like, man, you know, shoot, man, if they can incorporate something within the educational, you know, formula for guys to learn about this, or even some extracurricular educational stuff for guys who are athletes specifically, to learn about agents and these deals and these contracts and, you know, all the intricacies that go into it, man. Because if you lack knowledge, you're going to be dependent on somebody else. And if you're dependent on somebody else, you could be taken advantage of, especially at, you know, 17 years old. And so I'm hopeful that, you know, they can create some educational, you know, programs or something like that for these guys to get an understanding of what's actually going on.
Yeah, or just be like, watch the ESPN 30 for 30 broke, right? Like one of the early episodes of that show. It's like everybody blew their money and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you learn a lot by watching stuff like that.
Curriculum. Right. Young fellas and women, you guys getting that, learn about this money because it can help you and it can hurt you. Jared Apollo said to get the Mariners back on track, but it's as simple as we got to play better. But it's more than that. We'll discuss that next. It's the Mike Salk Show. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and Seattle Sports App.